461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here each and every day on Let's Face the Issues. By the way, we look forward to your conversation. Some said, well, I want to put in my 2 cents worth. Well, we'll give you up to a nickel's worth. You call in. We'd love to have your thoughts and opinions, dialogue and discussion on the issue. We're talking about the I Am's of Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am divine. What is he talking about? I am the bread of life. What do these I Am's mean? There are multitudes of them in the scripture. I think there's 7, 8, 9, or 10 in the Gospel of John. And we're going to talk about some of those today. It's an issue that we could speak about, talk on, answer questions on for hours upon hours and being fed wonderfully through the Word of God. I'm thankful that you've joined us today. Looking forward to that dialogue and discussion. At any point after we finish the brief monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and at any point invite you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I get carried away with the subject and fail to remind you, you can dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain that question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authoritative Word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. It's the truth book, as I like to call it. And the Bible, the scripture is very clear in John 8, 31 and 32. With Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said this, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17, 17, Jesus says, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen, according to Psalms 117, verse 2, that endures forever. Forever. That's a pretty good, I like that term. The truth of the Lord endures forever. That's never ending. Always the truth of the Word of God. And ladies and gentlemen, as we look at truth, we need to understand that there's some that want to bifurcate truth, distance from truth, reject truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. We find that to be factually true even today. Ladies and gentlemen, truth counts. Truth matters. And yet we're in a society today where we are mired up in, bogged in, if you please, the elements of untruth, the elements of deceit. In fact, I mentioned just a moment ago to Roger, we were talking about before going on the air, talking about the Pete Hegseth this morning, the Secretary of War, and his statements. He pointed at some of the cameras in the back of the room and called them out at CNN. He said, I have a background in broadcasting. He said the little runner, the banner that's at the bottom of the screen when you watch CNN, he said be careful because they have a lie that's there to deflect from what they're showing, the truth of what they're showing on the screen. He said, so I am concerned that we're finding so many deceptions, lies. And he pointed them out, several of them, in that time. But the point is, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a society today where there seems to be no problem with bifurcating the truth. And there are a lot of people that say, well, you know, I have my own truth. In fact, it's the statement that is made 55% of the millennials today say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, the millennials, according to this survey, 55% say each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth, and that's truth. Anything less than that's not the whole truth. It's a bifurcation of truth. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, looking at an article that he had written years ago, he warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He goes on to say this, what we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. That's a sad commentary to make that statement, but it's very factual. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline that says Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And yet there seems to be a lack, L-A-C-K, of clinging to truth. We find that in the secular world. We find that in society in general. We find that if you're talking about biblical, theological, doctrinal issues. We find that if we're talking about political issues. We find that today in particular if we're talking about war in Iran. There seems to be a mindset that you can take a nuance of truth and twist it the way you want it. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement. He said, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, that we'll listen to, learn, love, tell, and live the truth, and be willing to stand and defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brand equipment like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. On the campus of Tools for a Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about the I ams of the Lord Jesus today, as we talk about Jesus saying, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, I am the vine, I am the bread, I am the light, etc., etc., we need to understand, and I know there are a lot of people that say, well, I understand what he's saying. Do we really get the grasp of the fullness of theological doctrinal teaching in the I am statements of the Lord Jesus? I've observed, ladies and gentlemen, for less than 100 years now, that when it comes to biblical truths, there's so many today that are not well learned, if I can be polite with my statement. We can discuss much of the world's philosophies. We can talk about the woke terminologies. And most, even Christians, will recognize what's being said. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to the biblical truths, there are many today that cannot understand what is truly being said in the scripture, and especially when it comes to the statements of Jesus. And often this comes when there's confusion about Christology. Christology. Jesus Christ is 100% God. He's 100% man. He's the 100% God-man, as we find in the scripture. This is a biblical doctrine, Christology, the biblical doctrine of who Jesus Christ is. And we have heard this term And a lot of times their person will say, well, Jesus was half God and half man. No, it wasn't. It was 100% God and 100% man. Ladies and gentlemen, the virgin birth is misunderstood. The Trinity generally is misunderstood. And on and on and on I could go with Christology and Christological teaching and thought. But we're going to focus on today some, not all, of the I Am's of the Lord Jesus. And I'm delighted to have with me today, around the round table here in our studio, Dr. Neil Phelps and Dr. Glenn Davis. I'm thankful to have these two men today that we can have a little, I call it jawbone in session, just simply talking lightly, politely, in depth about some of these issues, and with open mics allowing you to call in and ask the questions. Dr. Davis, just take a few moments of introductory remarks, and then Dr. Phelps.
Amen. I want to say good morning, amen, first of all, to all of those who are listening today, amen, to my bride of now 40 years.
40 years. Amen. She put up with a lot, hasn't she?
She put up with me, I tell you, I can't believe it myself. But thank God, amen, I love you so much, amen. All of you that are listening today, amen, thankfully, we hope and pray that you will get something from this broadcast today and come to know your Lord and Savior even more, the better.
Amen.
Because that's what we are here for.
That's right.
We want to expose the truth. Amen.
That's right.
Because the Bible says, Jesus said, God said, amen, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge.
That's right.
And there's no reason for us to be connected to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and not know him.
That's right.
Praise
God. Absolutely. Thank you for that. Dr. Phelps, opening statement.
I'm so thankful for the great privilege I have today to share what the Bible has to say with those who are hearing, and we hope that you'll have a great day and that your life will be transformed as a result of listening today and hearing what we have to say. What we have to say comes from the inspired Word of God, and we are using a King James version of the Bible. Mm-hmm. The reason I say that is because in the book of John, chapter 13, Jesus was in the upper room with the disciples. He had the privilege there of washing their feet. But he was God himself. Mm-hmm. He was the Son of God himself. And he said these things to them there in John chapter 13, verse 18. He said, I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And that's an Old Testament quotation. Jesus came to fulfill the inspired scriptures. And next thing he says to them in John 13, verse 18, now I tell you before it come to pass, when it shall come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Now in my Bible that I'm looking at, in this version, the word he is in italics. It is supplied by the translators, but Jesus made one of the statements, one of the I Am statements, there in the scriptures. He says, I am. Mm-hmm. When we believe that he is the great I Am, it will transform our lives.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus
Amen.
Is the great I Am of the scriptures. And especially in the book of John, the Gospel of John, I have, I've located at least 11 quotations from the Bible where Jesus said, I am.
Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for that. And by the way, it just comes to my mind that in, I believe it's in Exodus, the third chapter, where Moses says, who should I tell them that sent me? And God said to Moses, tell them, I am that I am hath sent you. And so when Jesus uses the term I am any place in the New Testament, he's referring back to the triunity of the Godhead.
Amen.
He's talking about that he is God. That's one of the major focuses that I believe that our listeners need to understand, that we need to talk about, is when Jesus says I am, whatever the ending of that is, he is referring to himself as being God. I am that I am hath sent me.
Amen.
So when we talk about the I Am's, for example, and we'll get into these individual ones in a moment. Let's just use, for example, for my continued opening statement for a moment. Jesus says, I am the door. Well, Jesus is not a door. not a physical door. It's what we call a metaphor. And let me just give, for our listeners' benefit, the definition briefly. A metaphor directly identifies one thing as to show a symbolic meaning. Jesus says, I am the door. He's not saying, I've got three hinges and I'm standing here. You can open and close the door. That's not what he's talking about. He says, I am the door. And it's a metaphor of who he is. And we'll get into the details of that in just a moment. But Dr. Davis, why is it important for our listeners, or for anyone that, for that matter, but we're talking to our listeners today, why is it important to understand the I Ams of Jesus?
Well, number one, Dr. Youngblood, I think if we get the full context, mm-hmm. as you always say, mm-hmm. and I thank God for you, amen, saying that, you got me saying it.
Amen. Amen.
When I speak the word to people, I repeat it the same way you do.
That's
context,
good.
Context, and I tell them why.
Amen.
Because you tell us why.
That's right.
But then we ought to know and understand that the reason why Jesus made these statements in the scriptures is to give us identity, to give us purpose, and to give us a relationship with him as our Savior.
Amen.
So if we can just understand it from the context of that, then like Dr. Phelps said, that would impact our lives in such a way until we can truly show the world exactly who he is.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's a portion of scripture that I wanted to read from the book of John chapter 17. And it kind of ties into what I'm saying. John 17 verses 25 through 26. Jesus said, O righteous Father, this is his high priestly prayer.
That's right.
And at the very end, he said, O righteous Father, the world had not known thee, but I have known thee. And these have known that thou hast sent me.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 26, and this is how the way it stands out so good. He said, and I have declared unto them thy name. I am that I am.
Mm-hmm.
It points back to what we're talking about today. He said, and I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. That's relationship.
Amen.
That's identity. That's purpose. If every believer will come to know in that context what I am really means to them on a personal level.
Yes.
If you need a doctor, that's what I am. If you need a lawyer, that's what I am.
Mm-hmm.
If you need a friend, that's what I am. So he's all of that wrapped up in one.
Mm-hmm.
And I sure thank and praise him for that. That's who he is to me.
Well, I've historically used that term, and you touched on it in a little different fashion, where God said, I am that I am hath sent you. I am is an unfinished statement. I am, and you can fill in the blanks. So Jesus is saying, I am whatever you need.
Amen.
And as we look at this subject today about the I ams of the Lord Jesus, we're talking about how to recognize Jesus Christ as the provider for our salvation. It is how to recognize what he has done on the cross for us in biblical salvation. We will see as we look at these I ams. I want to start with John 10, verse 9. John 10, verse 9, and that is the I am the door. I am the door. Dr. Phelps, read that, John 10, 9, and let's start with that particular I am.
I'm so thankful that I can turn the pages of the Book of the Ages and talk about wonderful things out of God's Word. You know, our pastor has already told you that the Word of the Lord is truth. I read in Psalm 100 and verse number 5 that the God's truth endures to all generations.
Amen.
And there are other places in the scriptures where God tells us that his word is forever.
Amen.
And so when we read these words about the I am,
mm-hmm.
he's talking about an eternal existence.
Yes.
Jesus is eternally existing and equal with the Father and with the Spirit of God. In John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, now notice those two words, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture.
Amen.
And the allusion there is, or the reference there is to the relationship of a shepherd to the sheep. And that was so common in Bible times.
That's right. And that was the context there where he's talking about being the good shepherd, and he is the door. But explain to our listeners, let's break that down and look at it in portion. Jesus says, I am a door. No, he didn't say that, did he? He said, I am the door. Explain what that means and why it's so important.
Well, one of the ways of understanding the scriptures is to compare scripture with scripture.
Yes.
And there's another place where Jesus spoke one of those statements of I am in John chapter 14.
Yes.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. No man comes to the Father except by me.
Right.
Now, what he's trying to say, as I understand it, he says, I'm the only way for you to come into fellowship with God. The great need of people today, perhaps those who are listening, is to have an eternal relationship with God through believing in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had just made a note here about something that I'd like to share with you. Whenever we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and trust Him as our Lord and Savior, we establish a lasting and eternal relationship with God. And so we have a Heavenly Father who's promised us eternal life. That's found in John chapter 2 verse 12, John 3:16, and other places. We have the Son of God through whom God provides eternal life.
Amen.
And we have the Spirit of God who abides in us, and His presence assures us of eternal life. So God the Father is one who's promising it. He's 1 John 2:25, John says, and this is life eternal. He says, this is what God has promised us. The Son of God provides it. It's in Him.
Amen.
It's in our relationship with Christ that we have then that forever relationship with God.
Amen.
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 And Dr. Davis, when we look at this, let's go just a little deeper. It used to be a broadcast program called Digging Deeper. In fact, one of the theologians of yesteryear, I believe, had written on that subject, Digging Deeper. Let's dig a little deeper on this subject. I am the door. And it's interesting, and I'll say this and turn you loose with that. He didn't say I'm a door, the door. We have a problem today in Christendom with the denominational dogmas, where one denomination will say, this is what you need to do to be saved. Another denomination say, well, this is what you need to do to be saved. Jesus is circumventing all of the denominational dogma when he says, I am the door. And with that being said, a doorway is a passageway to somewhere. And Jesus says, I am the door. He's saying, I am the passageway. Explain that a little further for our listeners.
Well, what I'm seeing from that, Dr. Youngblood, and here's what I get from that. When Jesus said, I am the door, we have to understand that there are some doors that we can open that we might not find safe passage. But when he said, I am the door, now let me go back a little bit more, further than that, because when mankind sinned and fell in the garden, he lost the way to get back to the Father. So when God sent us Jesus Christ, he sent us the door.
That's right.
The safe passage to get back to him, and that must happen through his Son, Jesus Christ. So, considering Christ saying, I am the door, he is the sole, that means the only way, the only safe way that we can get back to the Father and find the correct fellowship that we need with him to be spiritually nourished, so that even throughout this life, as we continue to walk if we continue to walk with him, and when I say walk, I mean to live.
Mm-hmm.
In order for us to live with him in holy fellowship and communion, we have to come through the door, and that door is Jesus Christ.
That's the right door. Yes.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps?
Well, what we're really talking about here is that he is the door to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to have God's great salvation, Jesus is the way to have that. And the Bible tells us in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other.
That's right.
Neither is there salvation in any other, we're told. He is the only way that God has provided, a way of salvation.
That's right. So as I would put the statement, he is the door, the pathway to salvation. And without him, there'd be no salvation. He's the door, the entry point, as I would call it, to spiritual life, to everlasting life. That's the entry point, is the door. If you want to go from this room to the next, you've got to go through the door. And Jesus, if we want salvation, eternal life, Jesus is the door. Not a door, but the door.
Amen.
I believe we have Brother Davis on the line. Go with the question. A comment, please.
Boy, this is a timely thing that God has arranged for this discussion. Talking about the door. T is the 20th letter in our alphabet, and that stands for associated with redemption. H is the 8th letter in the alphabet. That stands for new creation, new man. And E is the 5th, and that is grace. You add those numbers together, that comes up with 33. He is the promise that God had given us that he would send someone to take away our sins. How profound is God's judgment?
Brother Davis, I am so thankful that even though there are a number of doors, Jesus, as I would put it, is the only real door. Without him, he said in other places, we can do nothing. But in that 10th chapter of John, the 9th verse, where he says, I am the door by, that's the little Greek word, dia, through me, if any man enter. The if leaves it up to the individual. It's a volitional choice for a person to say yes to Jesus Christ. If any man, that means salvation is universally available. Salvation is available to all who will. If any man enter in, he shall, not maybe, not perhaps, he shall be saved and shall, positive, go in and out and find the pasture.
Amen.
So, Brother Davis, I like to look at that text and look at not just the door portion, but as we make a volitional choice to enter into that gate, that door, that we will be saved and have eternal life and be able to go in and out and find green pastures, as in Psalms 23 speaks about. That is the nourishment that is available in salvation only through the door, the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. As I tell people, Brother Davis, that should make a Baptist shout.
He also said, no man comes to the Father but by me. He is the only way.
Yes, absolutely. And I emphasize that, Brother Davis, because I believe that so many people today are so woke and so progressive and so confused that they want to have admixture to what is salvation. Jesus Christ is the only way, the only truth, the only life. And I think that it's time that, in Christendom in particular, that we get to the point where we recognize the factual elements of biblical salvation. It's not works lest any man should boast. It's not based on denominational philosophy or dogma. It is based on Jesus Christ as the door, the way for eternal life. So, Brother Davis, thank you, brother. God bless you, and thank you for calling.
But you know what else I love about that, Dr. Youngblood? John 10 and 7 says, at the end, he says, I am the door of the sheep.
That's right.
That door belongs to us,
mm-hmm.
the sheep.
The
amen.
Sheep.
He didn't send us any door
mm-hmm.
or just various doors. He sent us, like Dr. Phelps said, the only door.
The only door.
The real door, and that's Jesus Christ.
And Dr. Davis, one of the things, and Dr. Phelps too, one of the things that I look at, Jesus said, I am the door, and by dia through me. If any man, And I like to look at that because, and speak of that, because it's universal. Salvation is universally available.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
A volitional choice. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening today and you wonder about being saved, how to get saved, it's a volitional choice to say yes to Jesus, the only door to eternal life. Jesus is the only way for eternal life.